simply experienced nothing at all. By now I was convinced that we were experiencing a bona fide move of God. I had read about such manifestation experiences being common in the revival meetings of great men like Jonathan Edwards and John Wesley. I had also read of the great camp meeting revivals in the early 1800s where thousands upon thousands experienced being slain, but I never imagined I would really live to see it. The crowd continued to grow and lines began to form. The power of God continued to fall on those coming. It was almost like being in a dream. I would look up and see our staff members, eyes red, face puffy, hands trembling with the fire in their eyes and the power of God upon them. I couldn't believe it was the same people I knew and worked with. In a matter of hours, something we never ever dreamed of, much less aspired to, was happening. The floor in front of the sanctuary was soon covered with men and women, boys and girls. The aisles began to fill as we were pushing aside chairs for more floor space. Usually one of our staff would catch the person as he fell, but on quite a few occasions we were caught by surprise and people fell hard on the floor. Frankly, we had no idea what we were doing. I'm not sure I wanted to learn. At some point I looked up and saw a local Baptist pastor walk in the door. I must confess that my first thought was, oh boy, I'm in trouble. While I knew this brother to be a genuine man of God, nevertheless, I was concerned about how a fundamental, no-nonsense Baptist might take all these going-ons. Besides, I didn't have an explanation to offer. I walked up to greet him. He just silently surveyed the room and with a tone of voice just above a whisper said, "This is God. For years I've prayed for revival. This is God." Within minutes, more local pastors began to arrive, Lutheran, Independent, Assembly of God. The word of what was happening spread like wildfire. As the pastors arrived, they were cautious at first, but within just minutes, they would often begin to flow in the same ministry. The crowd was growing and pastors began to lay hands on the seekers, where once again the power of God would manifest and the seeker would often collapse to the ground. It did not seem to matter who did the praying. This was a nameless, faceless, spontaneous move of God. There were no stars, no leaders, and frankly, there was no organization. It's hard to plan for something. You have no idea what might happen. Eventually, a word of what was occurring reached Fred Grew, the Melbourne pastor who had brought Randy Clark to the station earlier that morning. He and Randy, along with several other Melbourne pastors, jumped in the car and headed down to Vero Beach. At this point, we started broadcasting live from the church. As the group from Melbourne arrived, more and more people also began to show up asking for prayer. It seemed like there were always more than we could get to. Amazingly, unchurched, unsaved people were showing up. I got a fresh glimpse of the power of radio as person after person told us, "I'm not really part of any church." A few were skeptical at first and later found themselves kneeling in profound belief. Sometimes people would write,